Good morning. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. It's a very short one. This is what I have from the NIV. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for your word, and God, we want to apply and learn just what the heart of the psalm means in our lives. God, we just ask for wisdom and revelation as you are with us. And so, God, we just come before you and worship to you. We thank you, Lord, for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So it says, shout for joy, all the earth. Shouting and joy, kind of two extremes. If I were to ask you to go ahead and do that now, I imagine many of us would feel a bit uncomfortable doing that, especially this early in the morning. But there is a reason to shout, and there's a reason for joy, and there's an appropriateness to that. And that's why the scripture tells us to do that as a command, to shout. And not only to shout, but shout for joy. And obviously there's a reason for this extreme sort of behavior. If someone came in here and started just screaming and shouting, and you could tell that it was not out of terror, but if it was out of happiness, you know, like the winning goal in a soccer or football match, you know, you'd put a smile on your face and confuse, you know, in wonderment and, you know, wonder what is going on here. Well, in order to understand the heart of David as he writes the psalm, you have to understand that Psalm 100 was written for the people of Israel, and God is basically saying to them, hey guys, when you come into the promised land and you settle down in your nice, comfortable, warm homes and you have plenty to eat and you're enjoying your life, he's saying, hey, look, don't forget about me. Don't forget that I led you out of captivity. Don't forget I led you out of the wilderness. Don't forget I brought you into the land with that is flowing with milk and honey. And an interesting observation, in the first verse, you'll see, shout for joy to the Lord, all of the earth. And in the last verse, verse 5, you'll see that his faithfulness continues through all generations. And so now this is all encompassing for shout to joy to the Lord, all of the earth, everybody in the entire earth. So all the earth and through all generations, all the earth and all generations, which, what does that mean? Which means everybody forever, now, and, you know, and for generations to come. And so it just, it means the totality of everyone. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. And so the importance of thanksgiving is so deep, it is so wide, it is so encompassing that it applies to every person who has ever lived and every person that will live. This psalm was a song like many other psalms, and it was probably sung during a Thanksgiving ceremony. But you find in verse 2, worship the Lord, the name of the Lord. Verse 3, know that the Lord is God, the name of the Lord. Once again, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his gates and into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, verse 5. And you see his name, and you'll notice that it is very God-centric. The name of the Lord, it is very God-centric. This idea of joy versus happiness, you may know that happiness is typically based out of our circumstances. We are happy when our circumstances are good. And the Bible distinguishes it very clearly that there's a difference between happiness and difference between joy. Happiness is when, you know, something good happens in your life and you're like, oh, yes, you know, or you know, maybe you get a promotion, or you know, you you get to the restaurant that you like and the food that you like to eat, and you're like, oh man, I love this. I'm enjoying this. I'm happy. But that happiness is taken away, and it becomes sadness when those circumstances change. But joy, the Bible defines it as something very different. Joy is something more deeper than happiness. Happiness is an emotional state, but joy has a deeper reality. Happiness is often temporary, but joy is a bit more permanent. When we talk about joy from, you know, in church, it's kind of hard to understand or grasp. How can we have this joy? And as I meditate upon that, it comes a lot more clear in my life when I think of the relationship that I have with my child. And does he make me happy all the time? Of course not. I mean, there's many times where he's just frustrating, and it's just like, you know, you're like, ah. But overall, because of the relationship that I have with him, there's this joy. There's this, you know, just when you think about him, and when you think about the relationship, and just there's just this inexplainable sort of, more than a feeling, it's so deep, and there's this joy. And so as I think about that, I begin to understand, okay, now I think I know what shouting for joy means. It's not based on my circumstances or what's happening, but it's based on this relationship that I have with Jesus, with God. And because of this relationship, there's this deep, encompassing joy that we can have, despite, you know, what's going on in our circumstances in our world. And I think that's when the passage makes sense, when it says sorrow will last only for a night, but his joy comes in the morning. Because in the morning, there's the relationship is still there. The circumstances, you know, may be horrible, but the relationship is still there. And so now, you know, as you remember what God has done for you, as he's telling the Israelites, remember what I've done for you, you can shout for joy all the earth and worship him with gladness. And the irony of this joy through the relationship that we have with Christ, the irony is that a lot of times it comes through the suffering, and it comes through the pain that we go through, that this joy is developed. And the reason I say that is because in order to understand joy, in order to experience joy, sometimes you need to have a contrast of pain and suffering. That when you have that contrast of darkness, you can see the light in just a better way. And so we can have joy in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of our pain, in the midst of negative sort of circumstances, that we can shout for joy all the more, that we can worship him. Verse 3, know the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, sheep of his pasture. There's this ownership that God has over us. He is our God. He's our creator. He's our shepherd. He's our protector. When we have this security in him, when we know that the God is our shepherd, that he's our creator, that he loves us, there's this security that we can have, that no matter what happens, that we are still loved, that no matter, you know, how far we fall or how bad we sin, we're still loved, that we still have the security, that his arms will still wrap us, that he will still accept us back, that he will still accept us. And so we enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise, and we give thanks to him and his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. This whole idea of thanksgiving changes, is a game changer. And we've talked about many different passages in the Old Testament and New Testament about giving thanks. But giving thanks is a game changer. It changes our attitudes. It changes our lives. In fact, I would say it changes the direction of our lives, that when we continue to give thanks, in despite of our circumstances, we begin to draw closer to God, and we begin to be filled with his joy. So it all works together, having joy and thanksgiving, entering his gates and in his courts with praise. So anytime we're sort of struggling in our sadness or sorrow, anytime we're struggling with a difficult time, as we give thanks to him and are thankful for what God is doing in our lives, it begins to change our perspective. I just remember a recent time when I was kind of struggling with things going on in life and just the way things are and just internal battles and internal issues that I was having and just struggling with that. And I remember, you know, a friend saying, you know, well, try to think of the things that you're thankful for and list them out. And obviously at the time, I didn't feel like doing that. And at the time, I was like, well, there's not really much to be thankful that I can see. And he said to dig deeper and to think, you know, just your circumstances and then compare it to someone worse off than you. And I don't recommend you do that, actually. You know, that's just not really an appropriate thing that you would, you know, it just builds arrogance in you because I'm better than them. But just to think of things that you're thankful for. And as you begin to think about that, you know, you just realize that, wow, you know, God is God, and God is still moving in your life, and God is still protecting you, and God is still with you. And it just began to take me out of that sort of difficult time. As we close this devotion, I just want us to come with this perspective that God is our God, He is our Maker, that we have security in Him, and because of that, that's where this relationship with Him, that's where joy comes from. And Thanksgiving is such a powerful part of the Christian walk because it's an understanding that He is good and His love endures forever. Just to finally illustrate this idea of what it means to praise Him, there's a story of a medical missionary who was in India for many years, and he served in an area where people became progressively blind. They were born where they could see normally, but there was something in that area that caused people over time to be progressively blind. And so he developed a process that would stop this progressive blindness. And so people came to him, he performed a procedure on their eyes, and that they would leave eventually seeing better, and they didn't even realize how bad their vision had become. And now because they were able to see, the people thanked him. But they never used the words thank you in their dialect. In fact, the direct translation of the thanksgiving that they gave this person actually is better translated or means, I will tell of your name. And so when they receive this benefit, their expression of thankfulness is interpreted, I will tell of your name. And so wherever they went, they would tell the name of the missionary who had cured their blindness. So their thankfulness translated into, I will tell of your name. I will tell who's done this. So they would go around and people would ask, oh, you know, how did the procedure went? Yeah, I will tell of your name. You know, how did this happen and what's going on in your life? Well, I've got to tell you about this guy. I will tell of your name. And so they had something so wonderful happen in their life that they had to tell somebody about it. And I think that's a part of praise and thanksgiving, that when you see a great, you know, movie, you're like, oh, I got to tell somebody about it. Or when you, you know, eat something that's really enjoyable at a restaurant, you know, an amazing meal, you're like, I got to tell somebody about it. Or you got a great deal on a sale somewhere, you're like, I got to tell somebody about it. How much more ought we to tell the world about what God has done? And how much more thankful are we for the salvation that we have and the love that we have through Jesus Christ? And may our response be, I have to tell someone about it. I will tell of your name. Tim Keller, as I close with this final quote, Tim Keller has this quote about happiness and joy. It's quite deep, so I might have to read it a couple times for us to understand. But he says, happiness is perishable pleasure in a blessing. Joy is an imperishable pleasure in the blessor. Happiness is perishable pleasure in a blessing, in a thing, in the gift. Joy is an imperishable pleasure in the blesser. In other words, our happiness comes from, you know, our blessings, our things, our gifts that maybe God gives, that he's saying is perishable, that they could be destroyed, they could be gone, they could be taken away. But joy is an imperishable, everlasting pleasure in not the thing or the object, but in the one, in the blesser, in the one who gives it to us. And so if we continue to focus on the perishable things to provide us happiness and joy, we will fail and we will be miserable. But this joy comes from this imperishable relationship in God, in the blesser, and not the blessing. And so may I encourage us this morning To just reflect on our relationship with God and reflect on the one who made us, who created us, who is our great shepherd, so that we may enter into his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts and into his courts with praise. Let's give thanks to him and let's bless his holy name. Let's pray together. Let's do that. I believe this is an exercise that we can never do too much. And the exercise is to give thanks to the Lord, to remember the things that we're thankful for. Hopefully we don't just do that once a year at Thanksgiving time during the holiday. But we ought to, as the scripture commands us, give thanksgiving always and to pray continuously. And so let's give thanks, not only for the blessings in our life, but let's give thanks for the blesser. Give thanks to the one who has set us free from eternal bondage and separation. Give thanks to the one who knows what we're going through, who's been tempted in every way. Give thanks to the one who gives us grace. Give thanks to the one who has forgiven us of our sins. Give thanks to the one who's given us new life. Give thanks to the one who gives us breath. Give thanks to him. And so let's bless his name. Let's thank him. Let's worship him as an appropriate response.
You are beautiful beyond
As we lift up those in our community, let's give thanks for them, even though they're going through difficult times. May they be. As we intercede, let's pray that they can be thankful despite just their challenging circumstances. And so, let's begin to pray for our community. Let's pray for those who are going through cancer and chemo and treatment. And let's ask the Lord to heal them and bless them, and even in the midst of this, that God is able to cause all things to be good for those who love Him. And so let's lift them up in prayer and ask for healing for those struggling with cancer. Pray for the salvation of our loved ones who are also going through some serious illnesses, and ask the Lord to open their eyes, and let's bless them as we pray for them and lift them up in love. Let's also pray for those who have other sicknesses and part of God's family. But let's ask the Lord to have mercy upon them, and let's intercede for them right now. So let's pray. Pray for those looking for employment and jobs, and ask the Lord to open doors for them, to sustain them. And so let's lift them up in prayer. Pray for our mission focus for today, and today we're going to focus on Hong Kong. And so let's lift up all the different ministries and all the different needs of the city. And so let's lift up Hong Kong, that God would reveal Himself to our city. So let's pray. Thank you. If we could pray for the missions committee and ask for wisdom and unity as the MC makes decisions in terms of things that are abroad and within Asia and globally. So let's lift them up for wisdom and direction and guidance as they make decisions. Pray for our local outreach teams, and let's pray for the community center that would be used, that it would just bless people. Igape for the Homey Outreach, SP Lights, Freedom Ministry, Mother's Choice, and Bridge Ministries. Let's ask the Lord to really bless our influence over the city, and that God would be made known through our outreach ministries. So let's lift them up in prayer. Friday activities, we have SPU meeting, the river, EG courses, and so let's lift them up. House churches are on break right now, so let's lift up those activities that are meeting tonight. As we pray over these lists for our communities, Lord, we're so thankful, God, that you are in the midst of all those activities and programs and people, Lord. And Father, we just thank you, God, that as we look back on where we started on this journey and where you've brought us to, Lord, we are thankful for all the incredible revelations you've given us about who you are, God. We thank you for the relationship that we have with you. May it grow stronger each day and moment by moment. And so, Lord, we just want to worship you, and we come into your gates with thanksgiving in our hearts and into your courts with praise. We praise your name, God, for you are good and your love endures forever for all people and for all generations, Lord. So, God, we thank you. May your word dwell in our hearts today. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be blessed today. Have a wonderful day. I encourage you to stay and pray and seek his face, and we'll see you tomorrow.